Good evening. Thank you again for coming back to Seattle and being a part of our media revolution here. My name is Jan Strout, and I work with the National Organization for Women and several other areas in the media of media activism and education. And this, yes. So I'd like to just say a few things that hopefully haven't been totally said. I believe that the role of media is to ensuring access to independent and diverse information as education and educational opportunities are to securing our rights, our advancement, and our liberation. And that's why I think enslaved peoples here and elsewhere were denied access to information by suppression of education and later in educated and segregated and unequal schooling. That's why women were denied, and in some parts of the world are still denied access to information and our rights. Or worse, women were believed to be incapable or physically at risk when we were denied higher education or certain types of jobs. This experience of women and communities of color and many, many others around the right to information for our empowerment, for our own rights and own choices and possibilities for changing the conditions of our lives, our families and our communities, as well as our nation and the world, is, I believe, how people overall are being impacted by media monopoly and ownership consolidations, the loss of localism, public interest, and diverse points of view. Women are both tired and outraged about our media representations, when they exist or when they don't. We're either bimbos, we are bachelor-seeking brides, we are being swapped as wives, and we are white, we are thin, we are rich, and we're shoppers who must consume at all costs. And let's not forget nip and tuck for the women's ultimate sacrifice. Or we are completely missing in action as journalists, as commentators, experts, media owners, electeds, leaders, or FCC commissioners. You guys are good, though. And also, finally, as subjects of stories that matter to our lives. So, finally, we have the issues and the perspectives we can offer. Alternative values, priorities, life experiences, and places of hope and inspiration. That's what I think our media needs for best serving the public interest, and I'd like to thank both of you for representing that so well and to keep fighting for even more. Appreciate it. Thanks.
My name's Lyle Kortzel. I'm was a public access producer until our station was basically destroyed from within. Now, it's an interesting thing to see how it was that these vague forces influence these people to do things that ordinarily they wouldn't do. They had been hypnotized somehow or another. And I'm the kind of person, I'll sit there and say, wait a second, break out of the trance. You know, think about what the possibilities are if we lose analog technologies and a Bill of Rights. We're going to support the Bill of Rights with analog technology. If you eliminate the Bill of Rights, if you eliminate analog technology, you lose. Basically, what happens is your computer technology decides who the heck's in and who the heck's out and who the heck's on and who the heck's off. And that's what I experienced. I had an entire organization that basically shut me out. Really too bad, they missed out on a lot. And basically what we have to do is make sure that our rights and our technology, that vast resource of technology that we've developed for the last 40 years, is protected from these vague but very rapacious forces that come in. And what I seriously like to see is basically that it was a shame, because I'm hearing a lot of people, the interesting thing is to see who's getting left behind now, you know? And my disabled friends are getting left behind in many, many ways. And all they need is an analog digital radio and they can get out. All they need is an analog television and an analog VCR to do what they need to do in order to uphold their democracy. And this, basically, there's two kinds of disasters. We're all very familiar with the fast-moving disaster, like a hurricane or an earthquake. But there's another slow-moving disaster happening in our midst, where basically a whole lot of people are being systematically left behind, bureaucratically. And so your job, if you choose to take it on, and believe me, it's kind of dangerous sometimes, is to sort out what laws need to stay and what laws need to go, so that the interests of the American people and our democracy is protected in times of crisis, both slow-moving disasters like the last 25 years and the fast-moving disaster that we had in New Orleans. Thank you very much. And that means supporting both analog and digital technologies. What we're finding is digital technology is nowhere near as reliable as they're saying. And when you're under pressure on the ground, you want things to work. Yep.
Hello, here we are again. Thank you for coming back out. I was at the last one 3 years ago at the UW. And first of all, I'd like to say this is a very auspicious occasion that this should be happening today. It's the 7-year anniversary of the WTO protests in the streets of Seattle. And as we, as concerned citizens, stood in the streets then up against global domination by corporations and injustice towards people in society, we are here today. This is what democracy looks like, as we said. All right, I'm a writer, and I write for a small paper, the Seattle Gay News, and I'm pretty new at it, and in my own small way, one of the joys that I get out about writing is to write about things that are important, that are educational or inspiring. I get great joy out of writing about things that I think will inspire or activate or energize others, or educate others. And I think that this is something that's sorely lacking in our mainstream media. It's all about dumbed down, celebrity hype, static, and people just don't have a chance to really learn important things. Everything is trivialized. Important things are trivialized and unimportant things are glorified. And I would like to ask you to please nurture independent and free speech media that is diversified and uncensored and that is unfettered by any kind of corporate loyalties, that is not motivated primarily by greed or political affiliation or political desires or ideologies. And I would like to see that all people who are running for office have free access to every media, every television, every radio. And so these are the things I'd like to request from you, and I don't know what else to say, but I know that you both are really incredible people and support us, and I thank you so much for coming here. Thank you.
I'm Dick Schwartz, and I'm a former teacher here in Seattle and overseas, and I'm here mainly because of my concern for the country's young people and their future. When I was in college, my greatest joy was to jump in my Volkswagen Bug in the summer, head down those pre-interstate curving roads, cross the country, turn on the radio, and listen to the country. And you'd go across the Midwest, Montana, the Midwest, New England, down to the South, and then that most amazing of places in the country, Texas, and then back through California. And it was an education for me. And now in retirement, my wife and I enjoy doing the same thing. And we get in the car, and we head off across the country, and we turn on the radio. And you could bloody your fingertips trying to find anything that gives you a sense of where you are. Although I have to admit that I have been in one location and been able to get Rush Limbaugh on 3 different stations from that one spot. Darwin proved without a doubt that diversity is absolutely vital to the health of any kind of a natural system. And that rule applies to human systems, political systems, societal systems, governmental systems just as well. And I think this is the issue that I hope that you will couch this entire argument on, is this issue of diversity. Diverse systems prosper and grow, inbred systems wither and die, and we're headed on the path toward inbred systems that are going to wither and die. And for the future of the children and the young people of this country, I'm glad there's a few of you out there. This is an absolutely critical issue. I mean, I can't say how critical this issue is, and I thank you for what you're doing.
My name is Mark Taylor Canfield. I'm an independent journalist here in Seattle. I file stories for the Pacifica Radio Network's Free Speech Radio News and also local community radio station KBCS. And I'm also, for several local magazines and websites. I'm also a member of the board of directors for a media literacy group called Weapons of Mass Distraction, hence the TV heads that you've seen wandering around here today. And I'm also a founding member of a nonprofit government watchdog group called Committee for Government Accountability. It's pretty obvious to me why so many folks have come here today. It's also pretty obvious to me why we don't see any corporate media coverage of these events. Because the corporate media is not interested in what their audience opinion is. They're interested in only one thing, and that's a bottom line profit. It's also pretty obvious why people are here today. They're here to testify before you because they're very alarmed and very upset about the further corporate media consolidation going on in the country and the negative effects that it has on communities around the U.S. According to a study done by a foundation originally set up by Eleanor Roosevelt to study media democracy around the world, the United States is 24th overall in the world as far as freedom of the press, and no American can be proud of that fact. I have here in my hand a report. This report was buried by the FCC. It's a report about localism. It was based on the research of Professor Danilo Janich, who I interviewed. The names of the authors on this report have been redacted. As you can see, the names have been blacked out. But we know who the authors are because they went public after Senator Barbara Boxer waved this report around at a congressional hearing and made it public. I also have two other reports here. One is on minority and female ownership of television stations in the United States. There is a major lack of female minority ownership in the US. I also have another report here by Michael Yan, and this is about TV and newspaper cross ownership. And it also, along with the FCC report by Janich on Janich's research that was suppressed, shows that corporate media consolidation does not, and I repeat, not lead to more local media news coverage. We all know that that's true. What I would like to urge the commissioners to do today is to retain and strengthen the media ownership rules on corporations in the United States, because the future of media democracy in the U.S. demands it. And the last thing I'd like to say before I go is that this has to do with the First Amendment. I see further corporate media consolidation is a direct threat to the guaranteed rights in the First Amendment of the United States Constitution. Thank you.
Can we ask that you please go in the order you are listed on the screen, please? Let's be respectful of others. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Doug Underwood. I'm an associate professor in the University of Washington Department of Communication, former Seattle Times reporter for 6.5 years, and I also started my career working for Gannett, the largest newspaper chain owner. I want to just talk about a couple things. I've been in the Seattle area either working as a faculty member teaching journalism or as a reporter since 1981. One of the things I did at the University of Washington for 15 years was run their internship program in Olympia, where students went down to cover government news for newspapers in the state. When I first was in Olympia myself as a reporter in 1981, there were four full-time news bureaus from the Seattle television stations, and there were 12 to 15 full-time radio reporters, as well as 12 to 15 journalists covering the state of Washington with its more than 100 agencies and governor and legislature. Today, there are no television journalists permanently stationed in Olympia. There's one radio reporter in Olympia. There are about 30% fewer newspaper reporters than there used to be. That is to cover the entire complex of state government. As we know, the model for news in broadcast is to simply, and has been for probably the last 15 years, to eliminate coverage of public affairs. It's one reason why there are no cameras here, of course. With cross-ownership, my fear is that the news coverage model of broadcast can and likely will push what's been the model for newspaper coverage. Right now, the information pyramid in this region depends on newspapers. Seven Pulitzer Prizes have been won by the Seattle Times and the PI in the last 20 years. Coverages of Boeing safety issues in the 737, Alaska air safety issues, a US senator that had to leave office, coverage of other important issues. The broadcast news industry does not do this. If, in fact, the model continues to work the way it will, if there's consolidation, what people I don't think often realize is that it's very likely that it will be what has led to the elimination of news coverage in our state capital that will begin to dominate all media industry in this region. And I think it could be really severe. This is very important, what you you folks are doing, and I hope you stay with it. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Jerome Croman, and as a member of a local Unitarian Universalist congregation, I strongly affirm the Unitarian Universalist principle that calls for a responsible search for truth and meaning. I believe that in a democracy, the media plays a crucial role in enabling this search for truth and meaning to take place. And when consolidation of media in the hands of just a few of the wealthiest individuals and corporations takes place, that search gets placed on the back burner and is replaced by a search for profit and power for the corporate executives and the stockholders. The search for truth is elusive, and I believe that when we maximize the number of voices that are engaged in this pursuit, we have a greater chance of finding it, or at least coming closer, than when we allow just a few voices to have primary access to the citizenry. Let's make sure we open up the media playing field to as much diversity as we can so we can all have the benefit of hearing from as wide an array of opinions, beliefs, and viewpoints as possible, not just from the privileged few who can afford to buy up media and who apparently give credence to the old maxim that freedom of the press goes only to those who own it. Thank you.
My name's Robert Kam. I work for Thurston Community Television in Olympia, Washington. It's the public access channel. I need to start out by thanking you guys for doing what you're doing, for going around the country, for sitting through these long meetings. And I know about your efforts because I have cable and I can see it on C-SPAN. I've never seen it on any of the major networks, and it goes without saying that this will be untelevised tonight in the Seattle area. I work in television, and I love working in television, but I hate what's happened to television, and I hate what's happening to the people that work in television's salaries. I hope that when you deconsolidate the media, and we know you will, that our salaries will go back up, and it'll be a great day. I work in public access so that I can avoid working for these media conglomerations, and public access is a wonderful experiment on cable that is the most democratic media that we have so far. And instead of it being flourished, and instead of it being given more funding and an FCC license so we can graduate from cable to broadcast, God forbid, we are being defunded constantly, thanks to the Telecommunications Act of 1996, thanks to statewide franchising and the threat of a national franchising. In fact, in Seattle, 5 years from now, scan the public access channel here will be defunded. It will have zero money coming from cable franchising. Thankfully, I work in Olympia, and we are safe. I didn't always want to work in public access. I used to want to work in television news, but we know, everybody's here said it, there's something wrong with our news. I am so sick and tired of hearing about Britney Spears and Kevin Federline or Tom Cruise and Katie Holmes. As Jon Stewart would say, it's a slow news day. It's been a slow news decade since 1996. Now, in addition to you deconsolidating the media, you need to do some positive things to help the little guy. Foster public access, give them FCC license, grant more low-power FM, fund PBS, and grant more independent-owned television channels FCC license. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Jim Niblett. I'm a theorist. Now, I've heard all the jokes. Okay, a theorist is a general who doesn't have person skills. He's a philosopher who can do the math. Okay, here's the theory. We, the people, in order to form a more perfect union, provide for the common defense, Rita Katrina. If somebody raises their hand and says, I promise to do my best to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution, and then don't, What's to do? And that's what we've got right now. We've got habeas corpus as part of the Constitution, and it just went away the other day. And we don't have a media that will point out that fact, that hypocrisy, that corruption. I offer to you what you can do. Go to the guys that didn't have the guts to come with you, and say that there was this fellow that came up there and he said, we the people are sovereign. You are our servants. You two guys are good servants. The other guys are not good servants. A person who does not serve their master well does so at their own peril. We're going to be turning these things around real soon. It's due to turn around. It comes on about 30-year cycles, and it's this last one started with Reagan, taking away the fairness doctrine, etc. Pledge with your lives. You've done it. God is my... To these ends, we pledge our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. I don't think there's a person here who says that the Congress has its honor left. Take away their fortunes. We can do it with the law. We will do it with the law. Thank you, gentlemen.
Hello, my name is Rob Steele Plunder, and I'm the spokesperson for Billionaires for More Corporate Control. I live in a big mansion on the east side, not far from other billionaires right around me. As a billionaire for more corporate control, I would like to speak for greater corporate concentration in big media. There is not nearly enough concentration as there is now. There are five corporations which own all of big media. It's not nearly tight enough. People are already finding about things they shouldn't know about, election theft in 2000, 2004, with the easily corruptible black box voting, taking thousands of people in Democratic districts off voting rolls and other dirty tricks. The reasons for the Iraq war were clearly not WMDs or democracy, and people are finding out that the neoconservatives have been planning the occupation of Iraq since the early 1990s. And that the oil companies and the U.S., that they're doing a control of oil for the U.S. oil companies. And 9/11, I mean, already 36% of the people believe that throughout the U.S. that the Bush administration let it happen on purpose or made it happen on purpose. And that number is even 50% in New York State. Two major polling agencies came up with those numbers. And virtually no one from corporate media is covering that topic. So it's pretty astounding that that number of people have found out about 9/11. So we clearly need more concentration in our media if this number of people are finding out about things that corporate media doesn't want them to find out about. And in fact, 63% in Canada believe that the administration let it happen on purpose or made it happen on purpose. And they have more alternative TV media in Canada. So it's clear that we have to really tighten down much, much more to keep control on that. We know that media is already way too liberal when the top cable news network is Fox News, the top radio person is Rush Limbaugh, and Bill O'Reilly and Sean Hannity are big stars. Five corporations own just about everything: General Electric, Rupert Murdoch's News Corporation, and Time Warner. And again, that's way too many, and we need much more concentration. Big media already currently tells us everything we need to know, and what really counts are local fires and crime, not what happens in state, local, and national politics. If this truly is a country of democracy and freedom, government needs the freedom to spy on all of us.
Time is up.
Oh, thank you. And need democracy for corporations to say what they want with their billions. After all, corporations are people too. Thank you.
Hello and welcome to Cascadia North. I appreciate you coming out here and helping us with this issue. I think next time these hearings are held, maybe we could do a seventh inning stretch where you can all get up and take a break. My name is Tom Killoran, and I speak on behalf of myself and also as a member of the public radio station KSER in Everett. It's the unanimous position of the KSER Foundation Board of Directors to strongly oppose any further weakening of media cross-ownership rules. Bye-bye.
My name is Olimara Peters. I'm from Redmond, Washington. Commissioner Copps and Commissioner Adelstein, thank you so much for coming to Seattle and focalizing this hearing, and for all of your work to maintain a voice for us, the people. I concur with everyone else's objections to media conglomeration. Another ill effect of mega ownership is deregulation, loss of the people's oversight of not only the information sources, but also the broadcast and telecom technologies. And so, propagation and public unawareness of their detriments to health and safety of humans, other species, and the ecology. Limiting local government's control of broadcast and telecom installations to aesthetic issues only, as does the Telecom Act of 1996, has shut down honest biocompatibility criteria, has shut down both funding and market incentive for research and development of biocompatible technologies. This setup has diverted research and development into, instead, stealth technology. That's what the industry actually proudly calls it. Ever more miniaturization, disguise, and concealment of electropollution emissions sources so that people who get noticeable ill effects won't get the connection. This in turn prevents those bio effects from their fair part in directing the market. We need the biocompatibility research restored and the local government's control restored, the people's freedom to include health, safety, and ecological considerations in siting decisions. Please help reestablish space for media diversity, not only at the level of human societal info, but also at the level of all species, diverse sensory, communications, and other bioprocesses, whose rightful bandwidths our wireless technologies are pirating. Thank you.
We are running out of time. Please be as fast as you can. We have to leave in 5 minutes.
Hello, my name is Julie. I'm an educator, I'm an urban arts activist and advocate, and a hip hop artist. And I think people like myself who identify with hip hop not only as a musical genre, but a cultural medium and a tool for social change, we kind of offer a unique perspective in the discussion of media consolidation. We recognize ours is the first of its kind culturally to have been so not only just disseminated by media worldwide, but is essentially shaped and defined by media. Democratic media provides us the accessibility and presence of numerous independent sources. It provides hundreds of young people in my community the economic opportunity that exists within a thriving local music scene, and it allows the people who comprise this community the control over our own images, which is something that everybody deserves. But also more importantly, it gives access, it gives the even younger generation to whom hip-hop always speaks the access to us, people who care and identify and relate with them and not just their pocketbooks. So that's all. Thank you.
Thanks for staying up late. I know it's late for you guys. You know, I wasn't intending to speak tonight, but the overwhelming sense of the need for diversity of voice and opinion compelled me to do so and provide you somewhat of an alternative side of things. I do work for Fisher Communications. I'm the Vice President of Strategic Planning, as well as the 100 Plus Group, so I have a couple different roles I play. So I just wanted to touch upon, first of all, clarify that Como is not owned by Disney, as someone mistakenly said earlier. It is a station, the flagship station of Fisher Communications, located in Seattle. We do employ 1,000 people in the Northwest with ABC affiliates in Portland and Seattle, and we have CBS stations all over the Northwest, including great markets like Eugene, Boise, Yakima. I was going to speak a little, give a couple of examples, but I'll just cut to one. And that is a big market example, Seattle, okay? And someone mentioned Bellingham, a shopping channel, earlier tonight. Well, what would you say is more towards the goals of a diversified media and diversified voices in this market, Seattle? Another shopping channel or the market's first Hispanic Univision station to the market? Well, we just acquired, and I wasn't quite involved with this, the acquisition of a shopping channel. A locally owned, independent, small person entity owned a shopping channel. Just repeating whatever came over, shopping the jewelry, whatever was on the channel. January 1st, I'm proud to announce, it will be the market's first Univision affiliate. Now, Univision, and I know this, Univision, a large company, it's not feasible given a 7% Hispanic population. We spoke of diversity and minorities tonight. That Hispanic community in Seattle is 6 to 7%. There's not enough advertising dollars to support a local Hispanic TV market by a Univision or an independent source. It had to be an in-market player like Fisher Communications. So under the current rules, which many of you oppose, that wouldn't, you know, if we didn't have those, that wouldn't have...
You have access to the FCC at the flick of a button.
Well, I don't. This is my first time. This is my first time speaking, and I appreciate being the only alternative view tonight, actually, okay? So anyway, well, I spent here 3 hours listening to the other side of the debate. I'd appreciate just a minute. Okay, thank you, okay. So anyway, I just wanted to use that as an example of where, you know, not all consolidation is bad, okay? Not all. I agree with a lot of you what you've said tonight, by the way. Let me go on record by saying that. I don't have time to refute saying what I agree with, what I don't. But I just want to give you one example. Thank you.
Did you mention your name?
I'm Joe Lovejoy with Fisher Communications.
Thank you, Joe. Hey, guys. I'm super excited for HD radio technology. With HD radio technology, radio is the wave of the future, and I think that's quite incredible. Flat out, HD2 and HD3 stations need to be licensed. They need to be licensed with the same standards as the parent frequencies, and it freaks me out that a corporation can have up to 24 potential radio stations in our market. Thank you. And it would mean a lot to me if you guys wrote that down in your notes. License HD2, HD3 radio stations.
Did you tell me when I want to stick to 1 minute. Okay. Thank you. Hi, my name's Karen Weil. I'm from Bellingham, Washington. In 1985, I had been a reporter for approximately 11 years. I want to tell you why I was fired. I was fired because, as the editor of a local paper, I had run a headline that said that there were some junior high students who'd been caught with marijuana. The primary person who had been caught was the son of our biggest advertiser. He called my publisher and said that if we did not run a retraction and an apology, he was going to pull his advertising. And I was fired because I refused. This is what media consolidation leads to. In Bellingham, there is not one local TV station, as Susan mentioned earlier. There is only one local radio TV talk show, one local radio station. It is completely conservative talk radio, except for 1 hour out of every 24. There is 1 hour of a quote-unquote liberal talk show host who is supposed to be balancing the other 23 hours of conservative radio. In the Bellingham Herald is our only local daily paper. They have not covered three major news stories recently. First thing was that the Bellingham City Council passed a troops out resolution. There was not one word in the paper about that. We have had 8 arrests of peace activists in Congressman Rick Larson's office because they are protesting his refusal to sign the Declaration of Peace Pledge. Not one word in our Bellingham Herald. They also refused to cover the primary results that we had in our local town and in our county, and the editor refuses to meet with any of us to talk about why his policies somehow allow him not to cover these kinds of stories. I thank you very much for coming. I really appreciate this opportunity to talk. Thank you.
My name is Larry Hildes. I am the litigation director for the National Lawyers Guild Center for Democratic Communications, among other hats that I wear. And thank you again, commissioners, for coming. It speaks volumes that the empty space where the three commissioners who at this point have majority control over what the FCC does are out there in the void, and those commissioners cannot be bothered to hear the voices of the people. That speaks volumes to how much they care. It speaks volumes to how much they care that in spite of the courts of appeals ruling that media diversity, that increasing the monopoly, that cutting the caps is against the mandate of the FCC, that they're trying to do it again. And we appreciate you being here. We appreciate you keeping up the fight. Thank you. Most of the time when I deal with the FCC, it's frankly adversarial. We represent a community radio station in Brattleboro, Vermont that couldn't get a license. There was no community station in Brattleboro before they went on the air. There was no radio station, really, for Brattleboro before they went on the air. And the answer of the FCC to repeated requests was to try to drive the station that was there off the air. And we responded by pointing out that the FCC had abandoned its preemption of the field. It was not fulfilling its role on behalf of the public by not promoting diversity, by not promoting local stations, by allowing further and further consolidation. We were able to defeat an injunction, and then, only then, finally, was a license given to a community group to operate a station in Brattleboro, Vermont, a place that's in a valley that can't get commercial radio. As my wife mentioned, we have no TV stations in Bellingham. We have a repeater for Northwest Public Radio. We have one LPFM station that's a museum that will not broadcast anything that happened after 1945. And this is supposed to be community for us. We have half a newspaper that couldn't be bothered to cover the primary elections back in September because the primaries weren't newsworthy, that will not cover any public demonstration, that will not cover most public events.
Your time is up.
We ask that you keep up the fight. We ask that you do your job. Don't tell us that NPR is an alternative. Yesterday, for the first time, my wife and I heard a discussion on NPR, and they were talking about the fact that... I know. Let me finish my sentence, Karen, that's all. They were talking about the repression of the media and the fact that the media was saying whatever the government was telling them. I nudged Karen and said, look, they're finally covering this. And then the words Vladimir Putin came out, and we found where they were really covering this. Consolidation will hurt this country. It destroys democracy. It destroys community. And
Larry, please.
Keep fighting. Thank you.
Good evening. My name is John Anthony Yost, and I write for Your Life in Print. You know that our nation is built on the principles of democracy. We appeal as a people and as a nation that our government keep media and a fair and open market in our media, and also to open to business ideas and good concepts. When there is no free market, there is less service, there is less variety, and there is power concentrated in the hands of a few. I know for a fact that America does not want a corporate media that is run by the state. We want it for all the people, and the public wants a fair and balanced, a fair and balanced free market media. Competition spurs better services and better product. Better information helps us all live better lives. After all, we are all the public. Thank you and good night.
Mr. Commissioners, I'm Mary Catherine Roundtree from Radio Free Moscow in Moscow, Idaho. We are a low-power FM station, and we epitomize what local radio can and should be. We broadcast local candidate forums, call-in shows, public hearings, diverse music that commercial radio will not touch. Low-power FM should no longer be secondary to full-power FM stations that want to increase power or move in on our signals. Low-power FM also should have priority over satellite-fed translator stations that are taking over almost every available FM frequency across rural America. They broadcast from thousands of miles away. And finally, low-power FM should be allowed to exist on third adjacent channels, making room for thousands of more community radio stations, and for the first time, allowing low-power FM into large and medium-sized cities where it is needed most. The congressionally mandated MITRE study has shown that low-power FM on third adjacent frequencies causes no significant interference to full-power stations. Mr. Commissioners, I urge you to let low-power FM flourish throughout the country.
Hi, my name is Jim McIntosh, and I'm a person who is visually impaired, so radio has been near and dear to me, you know, all my life. 30 years ago in the 70s, we had a lot more variety. We had KUUU, which played nothing but 50s stuff. My favorite was KRAB, which used to play anything from Marxist readings to HPSCHD, a harpsichord played backwards. And I used to work on the Queen Anne High School station. But what I'd like to suggest is opening up more bands and frequencies. In Europe, you will find long wave, which is the band below AM, like, you know, 452, even 252. There's a transatlantic 252 station. And shortwave is the band above the AM. And it both these have a long distance propagation capability with that technology. But this way, someone who's, you know, doing a local station like the Vashon one, streaming out on the internet just to Vashon Island, if they could get one more of these, you know, broadcast frequencies, if it was made available, yes, they could broadcast, you know, you could have more stations in the community. So we need more variety, and we need, you know, to restrict the corporate consolidation, of course, but also we need more variety, and I'd like to suggest opening up more bandwidth and frequencies. Thank you very much.
I really want to thank you for coming to Martin Luther King Jr. County. My testimony is dedicated to the DJ at Cube 93, who back in the day, when faced with corporate rotation of music, he chose to play the original version of When Doves Cry by Prince instead of the commercial version, which lacked the same excellence of musicianship. And to Alicia Keys, who deferred her dream of going into the music industry because she was told she couldn't just sing about love because it wasn't marketable. That is, until Clive Davis opened the door to love for her. My name is E. Mendisa Subira, and I'm the spiritual advisor of the Global Youth Movement, formerly known as the Million Youth Movement. I am also the associate producer of the Afrogenesis Network on AM 1150 KKNW. Please send a message back to Washington, D.C., and tell them that we're tired of them giving lip service to the dreams of the young people of America. I started off as a broadcast communication major at the University of Washington in 1994, but soon dropped my major as I began to see the lack of truth, integrity, and diversity in the media. So I changed my major to theater, where I became just as disenchanted because the roles for black women are surely limited, stereotypical, exploitive, and truly misleading. So for the past 12 years, I've deferred my dreams and my divine purpose in order to maintain my principles and my integrity. But last week, a window of opportunity came through my position at Afrogenesis, which is striving to bring the African-American diaspora and African-Americans together through community, commerce, and culture. It is extremely refreshing to be able to talk about my community and my issues that deeply matter to me. There's not much more I can say that hasn't already been said, but I can give a bit of prophecy from the sun and the moon and the stars, because after all, President Reagan was sworn into office at two different times, one in front of the public and one according to the stars. Martin Luther King County is a Scorpio city inside of a Scorpio state, which translates into a lot of creativity and power of transformation. And Seattle proves this power in our diversity and the fact that we lead the way in many industries and innovations. So I suspect if the wrong choice is made by the FCC, Seattle will rise into its Phoenix power and play a key role in balancing the scales through our passion and commitment to creativity and the rebirth of the dream here in Martin Luther King Jr. County. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your patience. A special thank you to Commissioner Copps and Edelstein. We must leave the building. We have 5 minutes before lockdown. Thank you very much.
Good job.
Hey, thank you for doing a great job.
Good night, everybody. Thank you. We'll take the message back to Washington.
They're running 9 milliwatts per square centimeter.
You've been listening to a Federal Communications Commission hearing on media consolidation, which was held in Seattle on November 30th, 2006. In attendance were Commissioners Michael Copps and David Edelstein and 400 other people. 62 people testified. The hearing was organized in part by the media activist group Reclaim the Media. Thanks for listening.
The FCC is accepting written comments on media ownership consolidation until December 21st. To get more information and to file comments online, please visit reclaimthemedia.org, stopbigmedia.com, or fcc.gov.